Hello and welcome back to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon. Today we begin day two of our career article. Back in the studio, I have with me Linda.
Hello, everyone. It's so great to be here. It's a very interesting discussion on where our careers are.
Linda, what is something from yesterday that you would like to review for today?
Well, I would like to review sabotaging your career. That's really the essence of what this article is about. If you sabotage something, it means you intentionally prevented the success of it. So are you doing things, do you have bad habits that could be sabotaging your career, that something that you're doing that maybe you aren't aware of that is keeping you from advancing or from being happy in your job?
Right, and that's the point. Sometimes we want to put the focus on others or circumstances, but here the focus is on us. What are we doing? What bad habits do we have? And because we can hopefully change those bad habits, right?
Right.
Okay, and we have in the studio with us again today, Josh. Welcome back.
Thank you, Brandon. It's very good to be here.
All right, something from yesterday that you would like to point out.
So this is sort of a continuation of what Linda was talking about. So not just sabotaging, but also paralyzing our ability to move forward in our careers. And we talked yesterday, I think, a lot about how most people, their first inclination would be to look at outside sources that are making it difficult in order to advance and move forward, but that this article is really talking about looking inside and seeing what part we play in our own difficulties. And sometimes that can be very difficult to see what we are doing that contributes to this sense of being paralyzed or not moving forward.
Okay, well, I want to put our panelists on the spot. I didn't tell them this ahead of time, but I think they can handle it. I want you to think about, you know, maybe past jobs, something that you've learned from that. We're talking about sabotaging your career. We're talking about bad habits. What are some things that you've learned over the years that has helped you kind of navigate your career?
Well, if I look at bad habits, when I first started teaching, I didn't feel good enough because I didn't feel like I knew what I was doing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there are a lot of things you can do. I made myself learn answers to questions that I was commonly getting asked, or I made myself learn about the language. I mean, I knew it, you know, but I didn't know if I was expressing it or teaching it well enough. So in the early years, I really studied like methods and things like that, you know, to really teach myself how to be a more effective teacher.
To kind of equip yourself, right?
Right.
With further education, that sort of thing. Okay, Josh?
I think one of the things that I learned fairly early on, and it's something that I still struggle with, is that I also need to set healthy boundaries for myself and for the people that I work with. And for me, it usually means that I say yes a little bit too easily to when people give out assignments, even though I might already be overstretched. And it just means that even though I know that I can do something well, if I'm doing too many things, then it turns out that I can't do anything as well as I should be able to do because I'm just stretched too thin.
Right.
So that's still something that I struggle with and I try to be good about.
Right, and I would have to say for myself, I'm in a similar boat, knowing those boundaries, you know, when to say yes, when to say, hey, you know, I have too much. And because sometimes it's hard to know, well, I have time right now, but, you know, will I have time when I later on? And so figuring the schedule out and figuring out when you should do stuff and how much time you really have and that sort of thing can be very challenging. And also, you don't want to feel bad to say no, right? Well, sometimes we need to do that, and we need to know how to do that, how to go about it. And I think that also goes with, you know, a lot of times in Chinese culture, we talk about relationships, right, in guanxi, right? And so we need to work on relationships in the workplace, and so we can know how to, you know, maybe work those things out in a better way, right? If you have good relationships, that will help a lot. Well, we're continuing our discussion today of our career article, of course, and we are on page 29. We're going to jump into the six personality types, but before we do, let's have our first reading for today.
Six personality types. The hero always pushes himself too hard to do too much. The meritocrat believes that the best ideas can and will be determined objectively. The bulldozer runs over others in a quest for power. The pessimist focuses on the downside of every change. The rebel fights authority and convention. The home run hitter tries to do too much too soon.
All right, well, do you want to be a hero or one of these other six personality types? Of course, all of these, we're talking about the negative side, right? Of course, because we're talking about bad habits, it could sabotage your career. The first one, Josh, talks about being a hero, and what is that referring to?
So here they call the hero as someone who always pushes himself or herself too hard to do too much. So I think this kind of ties in a little bit with what I was saying about not setting good boundaries, is that's another side effect of that, is that even though I don't have enough time to do something, sometimes I'll take on things, and because of that I'm pushing myself too hard, doing too much, and I'm not actually able to do everything to the best of my ability.
Okay, and this reminds me of the fact that our strengths can become our weaknesses, some
sure.
of our strengths. So mm-hmm. this person, they're able to do a lot of different things, but they can take on too much. And so we need to know our boundaries. And what's the second personality type, Linda?
Well, the meritocrat believes that the best ideas can and will be determined objectively. And actually, meritocrat is one of our specialized terms, and it's a person who's part of a social system that rewards one's accomplishments rather than their wealth or social position. So here, merit, we can pick apart this word. So
mm-hmm.
merit means, you know, you get something for what you've done. You get so many merits
mm-hmm.
for
right.
doing a good job. But I think it's kind of interesting that this type of person feels that the best ideas can and will be determined objectively. I don't necessarily believe that's true in a workplace.
Okay, objectively, meaning that everything's done fairly, it's not based on your feelings, which would be subjectively.
Right. Sure.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of the problem, is that if you feel like everything is going to be determined objectively according to the way it's going to work out best, you run into a lot of problems with your coworkers, because your coworkers will be operating under a different assumption of how things get advanced or how things get moved forward, and isn't necessarily decided objectively.
That's right.
I think this kind of person can set themselves up to be very, very disappointed often.
Sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. We can have the wrong expectations or expectations that are too high, and people can't always meet those. The next one is really kind of funny, the way, you know, this personality type, when you listen to it, because they use this term bulldozer. And the bulldozer runs over others in a quest for power. And of course, a bulldozer is a machine that you use in construction to maybe tear a building down or to pick up dirt and move it. But here they're using it in a figurative manner, Josh.
Yeah, so in a figurative manner, they talk about people who bulldoze or are bulldozers as those who try to use a sort of brute force almost all the time in order to do what he or she thinks is right or what they want to do.
Right, so there's very strong personality, and people maybe are afraid of them, right? And they're just trying to make something happen very quickly in this quest or this search for power.
So yesterday we talked about bad habits, and I think that we talked about this one, you're functioning as emotionally tone deaf.
Mm.
Definitely that fits into the bulldozer type of personality.
Certainly.
That's right. And next, the next personality type, we talk about a pessimist. Of course, a pessimist is someone with a negative outlook. They see the glass as half empty. These people, they're focusing on the downside of every change. And so maybe there's a new change in the workplace and they think, oh no, this is terrible. You know, it's going to make everything worse and my life, you know, is going to be affected in a negative manner, right? So a pessimist is someone who has a negative outlook.
Right, and most pessimists would call themselves realists.
Yeah, that's right.
That's true.
Yes.
And so, and that's the problem, is that the first thing you see is the downside, and that's what you expect to happen, right? And we all know bad things are always possible, but if you focus on them it tends to focus everything on just the bad things.
Right. Mm-hmm. If you focus on them, you can know that and realize, hey, this is an issue, but you don't have to dwell on it.
Sure.
That's the key.
And actually, there might be a downside to some changes, mm-hmm. but there's always an upside also to other changes. So, you know, I think we have to realize that this balances out.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And how can you make good of it, right? You look at it and say, mm-hmm. there's a downside, but what can I do to make the best of the situation? Because right. not everything that happens is great, but you can make it better than it could be if mm-hmm. you have a good outlook, a positive attitude. Okay, and then next, Josh, we talk about a rebel. What is a rebel?
Here, a rebel is someone who rebels or is rebellious against authority and convention. So it means that they don't really agree with their supervisors or any authority figure, or that's their first reaction is to say that, no, that's not the way I'm going to do it. You can't tell me what to do.
Okay, convention is talking about there's a certain way that things are usually done. People, you know, expect things to be done in a certain way in society and in your workplace. But then there are those people who say, I don't really like the way things are normally done. I want to do things differently. And they rebel maybe against their supervisors or just the authority in the workplace, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that can cause issues. The last one, what is that?
Well, the home run hitter, this is right out of baseball, tries to do too much too soon.
Mm.
So maybe you don't really know what you're doing, but you're doing it anyway. That's
yes.
what I think of.
Sometimes this happens, I think, with new employees, right? Of course, they want to improve themselves, and so they, you know, just hit the ground running, which is good in a way, but you have to take your time and learn, you know, how to do things correctly, not just going full steam ahead, right?
Exactly. And if we're going to use the imagery of baseball, when you're trying to hit a home run, you're going to swing hard at anything that comes your way.
Mm.
But if you're swinging hard at anything that comes your way, chances are you're most likely get a strike or a swing and a miss.
Right. Sometimes, you know, a kid is playing baseball and they hit a home run. And so they think, oh, I can do this all the time. And they try too hard,
mm-hmm.
right? And maybe they're swinging too hard or just going after it too hard. And they need to relax and just wait on the baseball to get there at the right time and then do a nice, you know, swing. But we can do too much too soon. So that is a negative attribute.
Right, because, you know, oftentimes when you're making decisions or somebody is making a decision, you're talking through the process or talking through the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do too much too soon, I mean, I don't want to put down people that really want to get going on a job.
Right.
That's
that
not
be
what
good,
this is
right.
about.
Yeah.
I mean, it's about taking too much action too soon, and maybe things change, and then whatever your idea was is that goes by the wayside.
Right.
So
sure.
you mm-hmm. need to, you know, just see where things are going before you really get involved.
There's a balance, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, those are the six personality types that we need to be aware of. And maybe we can all relate to certain ones and we can work on those. We can identify it and then work on those issues. But what about poor self-esteem? That's a big issue, and that's in our next reading for today.
Self-esteem. Among the worst habits is negative self-esteem, which leads to not feeling good enough or feeling like a failure. Building a career on a foundation of poor self-esteem is equivalent to erecting a skyscraper on sandy soil, Waldrup explains. Don't let poor self-esteem undermine your professional confidence. The goal should be to act effectively while accepting personal shortcomings and life disappointments, Waldrup says. Avoid thinking that outcomes could have been different, if only I had. Trying to take on too much, typical behavior of heroes and home run hitters, also demonstrates a lack of self-esteem. These groups of people worry that they won't get ahead, that their strenuous efforts to reach the top go unappreciated, he explains. Pessimists are also motivated primarily by a fear of being wrong or inadequate.
Okay, self-esteem, this is a problem. You know, poor self-esteem is a problem that many people, I guess, suffer from. It's not a disease, but anyway, they deal with. And it says here that it's actually among the worst habits. Because if you have poor self-esteem, it really doesn't just affect you. It can affect the people around you, right? You think you're not enough, and it can cause problems in the workplace.
It's true, and it's interesting that they call this a habit. So this is something that, like, it's a pattern of behavior that you can find yourself falling into all the time, where I think a lot of people would consider poor self-esteem to be something that's sort of like sort of an outlook that you have, as opposed to a habit or a pattern of behavior that you do.
And the problem really is we're focusing on ourselves too much. If we think too much of ourselves, that's bad. If we think too little of ourselves, that's also bad. Sometimes you may feel, I'm being humble, but that's not really the true definition of humility. Humility is thinking less about yourself, focusing on other people, right? It doesn't mean you think less of yourself. And then we hear again from the psychologist, James Waldrop. What does he say, Linda?
This is a very interesting image. It says, building a career on a foundation of poor self-esteem is equivalent to erecting or building a skyscraper on sandy soil.
Yeah.
Not a good idea.
Right. You think of Taipei 101, you know, if it was built on sandy soil, that would be terrible, right? You need a strong foundation. You can't really, you know, thrive in life with poor self-esteem, because you think you're inadequate, and that affects other people, and people don't really get to know the real you, and they need to know the real you. They can benefit from that.
I think a lot of people suffer from this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of low self-esteem in the world. So if you find yourself facing this and you realize this in yourself, you really do need to take a look at it and see what you can do about it.
That's right. And there are many things you can do. There's even counseling.
Mm-hmm.
And many times we think, oh, I don't want to do that. But I think everyone can benefit from counseling one way or the other. And so don't be afraid to seek out that help.
I think we're finding, there's a lot of talk about this, especially in the world of social media now, and the effect of social media and cyberbullying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kids are now growing up with very low self-esteem because of somebody out there who makes some negative comment about
right.
you. So you have to be careful. You know, this is a career, but actually kids are going to be in this part of their lives shortly. You have to be careful what you're taking into your lives.
That's right. And a lot of us, we let other people define us
mm-hmm.
instead of, finding out who we really are and our true identity. And so we're trapped in that, and we shouldn't, of course, do that, but it's hard to overcome. That's why sometimes it's good to just to talk to someone else about it, and they can help you along the way. Well, next, at the top of the right column, it says, don't let poor self-esteem undermine your professional confidence, Josh. That word, undermine.
So when we talk about something that undermines you or undermines anything, it's usually something that will make you less confident, make you less powerful, or interfere with your ability to succeed at something, right? And so here we're talking about how negative self-esteem, if you build your career and still have this sense of a poor self-esteem, what will happen is that any time that you run into difficulties, real criticisms, that your poor self-esteem will really cause you to kind of fall apart, just like
mm-hmm.
a building that's built on sandy soil.
I think you really have to show yourself some grace, right, and leave room for improvement and realize it's a process. It says the goal should be to act effectively while accepting your shortcomings and disappointments. There will, of course, be disappointments, and you have shortcomings, but you have to realize, hey, I can't let this control my life. And so move on, work on those things, but don't let it overshadow the big picture, right? And avoid thinking that outcomes could have been different. And we have a list of things here, Linda.
Right. I think that this, maybe they could have been different, you know,
mm-hmm.
but don't always take the blame for everything. If only I had, or those are for people trying to take on too much. So the heroes, the home run hitters, they also demonstrate this kind of lack of self-esteem because, you know, you're trying to prove yourself constantly.
Yes, and that is tiring. It drains you. So, again, I feel like the theme here is we're focused. We care too much about what people think, and we should, you know, take those things into consideration. But we shouldn't care too much and focus, put too much value on what people say, and hang on every word that someone says, or otherwise we'll be like a yo-yo or a roller coaster. Emotions will be all over the place. Mm-hmm. So, as we end this section here, we. Here again from Waldrop, and he talks about, how, this is a difficult process, the strenuous efforts here, Linda.
Right. He says that they worry they won't get ahead, that their strenuous efforts will go unappreciated, so they'll never be able to advance in their careers. And he says that pessimists are motivated primarily by fear of being wrong or inadequate. I mean, that makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that's what motivates people. So I think that you need to recognize this in yourself so you aren't constantly feeling like you have to prove yourself.
That's right, because again, it will affect you in a very negative way. It will drain you, and we shouldn't be motivated by fear. Oftentimes mm-hmm. we are, but don't let that be the motivation. Look past that, deal with that, but don't let fear be the motivator.
And this might be a good time to point out that even though we may have a hard time recognizing these problems in ourselves, many times mm-hmm. they are very obvious to the people we work with
yes.
and our supervisors, and that is what causes the problems of not being passed over for advancement or moving forward.
Right.
All right. Well, those we talked about the six personality types and poor self-esteem, but next we are going to discuss three transformative changes, so let's find out what those are in our last reading for today.
Three transformative changes that can eliminate an Achilles heel. 1. Understand the world from the perspective of other people. A well-developed sense of empathy helps one deal with peers, subordinates, managers, customers, and competitors. A meritocrat would find peace if only they understood that compromises are often necessary to reach solutions. 2. Recognize when and how to use power. Waldrop explains that people confuse using power with abusing it, and they avoid it altogether. Others, like bulldozers, use power in unnecessary ways. The best is to find a comfort zone in relation to power. 3. Come to terms with authority. Some people defy their supervisors as often as possible, while others grow too deferential. One doesn't need to stop questioning and thinking independently, but a rebel might channel his energy into constructive criticism rather than complaints.
Okay, at the beginning of yesterday's article, we talked about an Achilles heel, and we discussed that and defined that. Of course, that is a fault, a small fault or weakness in a person or even in a system. And so here we're talking about transformative changes that can eliminate that and hopefully help you to move forward in your career. And what is the first one here, Linda?
Understand the world from the perspective of other people. This is so necessary. You know, if you dwell on yourself, on what you think, on how you feel, you know, it's very limiting, and it's also very self-centered. So we need to, especially in the workplace, we need to step outside of ourselves and look at a bigger picture, look at those people around us.
Right, and what are things from their perspective, right? The people we're working with, maybe we're having problems, maybe they're having problems, and maybe we can help them, and that will get the focus off of us, right? And I think we will be more fulfilled. Sometimes we're so focused on making everything right in our lives, and we do need to identify those things, but we can become overwhelmed with that, and we can just step out of that and help somebody else.
Or doing it our way.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, there's so many different factors that are involved here, but we need to understand, have this well-developed sense of empathy. We need to help other people, right? And how do they feel? Empathy has to do with understanding someone's feelings or experiences by imagining what it would be like to be in their situation. And so empathy is a great quality to have. Okay, and then we're talking about peers, and we're also talking about subordinates, Josh.
Yeah, so here, this as a real example of how empathy really helps, it helps you deal with your peers, the people that you work with. It helps you deal with subordinates, the people who work underneath you or the people that you're responsible for, and also with managers and customers and competitors. So it's talking about how it's really important to be able to put yourself in other people's positions, in various positions in a company or in the work experience, because there are more things going on than just from what you see.
Okay, and then moving on to number two, recognize when and how to use power. This is an important one, and Waldrop explains that, people confuse this and they think, well, I'm just going to do nothing, right? I'm not going to even address this use of power. And so some people, though, they're like bulldozers and they use power in unnecessary ways. And other people just avoid it because they're afraid of abusing it. And we end here at this point. The best thing to do is to find a comfort zone in relation to power.
Right. So you don't want to ignore it and you don't want to abuse it.
Right. Okay, and what is tip number three, Josh?
So is to come to terms with authority. So I know that a lot of people think that it's a good idea in order to always question things, and some people think that it's a good idea to always follow instructions. But here we're talking about not being too deferential. So not deferring too much or always just going with what you're told, but to find a good balance between the two.
Right. You can question thinking. I think a lot of this is how you go about it, right? You can, how you word things, how you phrase it. You can question things, especially if you're bringing up a good point and you can back it up. But a rebel might channel his energy into constructive criticism rather than complaint. So instead of just rebelling and going against it, bring constructive criticism, criticism that is beneficial, that is helpful. All right, we are out of time for today. We thank you for joining us for this month's career article, and we hope you will join us again here on Advanced Studio Classroom. Until then, this is Brandon.
And Linda.
And Josh.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.